So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Today's sermon is called "The Veil is Torn. The Resurrected King Wants Your Heart." Turn to your neighbor and say, "He wants your heart." Turn to your other neighbor and say, "He wants your heart too." I've never spoken on an Easter Sunday. So then I contemplated, a pastor was like, he was working on the homeless showers this week. And so I was like, "So you're getting ready for your sermon?" And he's like, "So you're getting ready for the sermon." But I've never spoken on Easter. And so as much as I tried to recall in my life and what a privilege it is to stand here before you and to speak the word of God, and I pray that God will open your heart this morning and that he'll make real to you the truths of the scripture. That's my heart this morning, that you will just understand who he is and the great price that he paid for your life, and that the veil is torn. Turn to your neighbor and say, "The veil is torn. The veil is torn." This is Easter Sunday, y'all. Y'all got to talk back to me. Is that okay? Can y'all talk back to me in the room? Matthew, thank you. You got somebody in the house willing to shout. Matthew chapter 27. I just, when I was preparing the sermon, this whole week we've had the way of the cross on the side wall, and the Lord just, as I was preparing the sermon and looking at the scriptures, God says, "This is not just for them, Tara. This is for you. God wants your heart." We give our hearts. When I was 13 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus. I got saved. Anybody got saved up in the house? You gave your life to the Lord, and so me too. And so, but there are times, even as believers, that we will take our heart back. And so I remember so many times the Lord has come in and stepped in my life, and this week is no different. I had a hard heart. I don't know if you have a hard heart. We get hard hearts, and so I had some things going on in my life, some issues that I needed to deal with the Lord. He said, "I want you to go in the sanctuary and just kneel before me. Tara, he wants your heart." And I was like, "But he has my heart." But God wants your heart over and over and over. He wants to be close to you this morning. I have a little girl, and she's my youngest, and she's very close. She hangs on to me. It's really quite crazy. I don't know why, but whenever like I'm sitting on the sofa, she'll jump like on top, you know? And I don't know if you have a kid like this. I don't know if it's weird. I don't know. I mean, I'm just telling our story. And so that is just, and they just breathe on you, you know? And then she, "Mom," and she comes play the piano in my room. "Mom, what do you think about this?" And it's "Mary Had a Little Lamb." Like, yay, for the 50th time, let's play "Mary Had a Little Lamb" one more time. And the truth is that I love when she comes close. I don't tell her this because sometimes it's like exhaustive because I'm a human, but a mother of other kids. But sometimes, man, I just love to be in her presence where she just comes and hangs out with me for no reason. She doesn't want any money. Hallelujah. She's not looking for another 20. Can I get an amen? Come on. And so I'm saying, but I love it because it's my little daughter who wants to be close to her mother. And I think God is saying the same thing to us, but I'm your father. And some for some of us, that brings up daddy issues, right? Like, we didn't have a good dad, so how can a heavenly father want to be close to you? Or maybe your dad wasn't perfect. I remember one time my dad got angry and he punched a cow and he broke his hand. It was ridiculous. And so he probably doesn't want me telling that story, but he ain't here this morning. And so our fathers are imperfect pictures of the heavenly father. And so tonight and today he wants to be close to you. He wants to draw you back in. He's saying, "Come close to me." You can trust him this morning. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Matthew 27 and verse 50, all of that was free. Matthew 27 and verse 50, we're going to talk this morning about an essential of the scene. And I think we don't see this. We didn't see this. We watched The Passion. We saw a picture of it. But this morning, I want to tell you the cost that Jesus paid so that the Heavenly Father can be close to you. In verse 50, it says this, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit." So again, we're looking at the cross. We're looking at the last words out of the mouth of Jesus, and he cries out in Matthew's version. Now, Matthew is writing to the Jewish people, trying to convince them of the Messiah. This is the one that you've been talking about in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. This is the Son of God, and you have put him to the cross. In verse 51, it says, and behold. Somebody say, behold. Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And we're going to stay a little bit of time right there. It says, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from what? From top unto the bottom. Now, we don't understand this in our Western culture because we don't have curtains like they had curtains. Let me explain to you. Most Jewish scholars, a curtain of that magnitude that would separate the temple would be 4 inches, about the size of a man's hand. My curtains are like little handmade curtains, you know, made in another country always. But this curtain would have been about 4 inches in width, and it would have been 60 feet high. For example, that would be like 6 stories high. Do you understand the kind of curtain? So we're looking at a curtain that's about 4 inches, about the size of, I guess, my hand. And then you're looking at a curtain that is 60 feet high. And so you're looking at something like the Homa Atrium. You know what I'm talking about right there on the Tunnel Boulevard? You're looking at a curtain that was massive, that divided people from the presence of God. Now, this was written about in the scriptures in the Old Testament. And so we were looking at a 4-inch in width, and then we're looking for a 60-foot high curtain. We don't do curtains like that, but that was the curtain that separated a place. This morning I have duct tape. Anybody use duct tape? I like duct tape a lot. It fixes everything. It fixes everything. I just want to give an example. Could you help me? My husband's going to help me just for a second. I just need a straight line. Now, if you know anything, Ted will give you a straight line about everything. I need a straight line from here to the cross. Okay, so he's going to go from the pulpit. Now imagine for a moment, is that right in the center of the room? It's probably, I'm going to stress him out. I'm going to keep on stressing him out if I say anything more. Now we're drawing a line from the, imagine for a moment that this is our 4-inch curtain. And this is our 60-foot high curtain. Now we can't imagine that because at most this is probably about a 2-story building. Am I right? Maybe? I don't know. He's going to tell me all the dynamics whenever we get home. And so, okay, thank you. I'll give him a big round of applause. Yes. So this morning, just for an example, I want to explain to you the dynamics of the temple and what exactly happened in that verse. On one side of the curtain was, and we have a picture. Do we have a picture of the curtain being torn into two? So we have just a dynamic. Now, I don't know what that looked like. Clearly, most artists don't know what that looks like. But you can see the length and the width of that curtain because you see humans at the bottom and you see the curtain that was dividing. Now, what exactly did it divide it? Go to the next slide. We have a slide this morning that's going to explain to you the purposes of God. And so, behold the curtain. There should be a slide of the holy place and the most holy place. And so you see, and I'm going to explain this morning, this is the holy place. Everybody say the holy place. You got it. Okay, now this is the holy of holies. Somebody say the holy of holies. Good, you're awake this morning. Happy Easter. Now, what happened in these places, in the holy place, which was, for my example, this side of the room, the holy place had 3 things in it. And if you notice where the priest is, there are actually 3 things that would take over in the holy place. In the holy place was a lampstand. Somebody say lampstand. Now that would symbolize, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They had a lampstand. They also had what was called a table. You can go back to the picture. Well, we'll do that. A table of showbread, which was 12 loaves of bread placing there, reminding them of God's continuous provision for the 12 tribes. So they had a lampstand in the holy place. They had a showbread of 12 pieces of showbread explaining the 12 tribes. And then there was an ever-burning incense altar all in the holy place. Now, that was where the priests could come in. So not even you could come into this place, because that was designed for someone that would come in and that would bring the sacrifice, whatever the sacrifice for your sin would be at that moment. And the priests in the holy place would do their duties. But once a year, somebody say once a year. Once a year, there was one priest. He was called the high priest. And the high priest would walk into what we call the Holy of Holies. And only once a year, also tied with a bell, just in case he had some sin up on him and he died, they would hear the bell quit ringing and they would drag his body out of the holy place. This is a cost. And so to get into the Holy of Holies, see, there was a divided, there was a curtain, there was a 60 feet high, there was 4 inches deep. Why? Because the Shekinah presence of God was in the holy place. This was not just where the showbread was. This wasn't where the lampstand was. This wasn't where the ever-burning incense altar was. This wasn't where the priest could come and do the sacrifices whenever they felt like it. This was once a year that God would come down and the priest would go into the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant. Do you see it right there on that side? Just a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, what is the Ark of the Covenant? You might be thinking of Indiana Jones. I don't think that's correct. I don't watch Indiana Jones, so I don't know. But I read the Word of God, and the Word of God says the Ark was a 3-foot-long chest. It was covered with gold. It was carried by staves through rings on the side because no one can touch it. And in it, it had 3 things, manna, which is what God fed the people in Israel for 40 years. It was a bread that came down out of the sky and they would go collect it every morning. There was also Aaron's staff that had budded and they had buds coming in from it. And they also had the tablets of the covenant. We know that as the commandments that God gave Moses. It embodied the presence of God and it radiated a fiery glory. A lot of people will call that the Shekinah. Somebody say Shekinah. I'm old school Christian. The Shekinah glory of God, which would roll up on the tabernacle and the roof, and it would become that fiery pillar that led Israel through the wilderness. On the top of the ark, you might see it. There were 2 cherubim angels looking down in wonder at the center of the lid. It was called the mercy seat. And there was this high priest who would walk in once a year, and they would sprinkle the sacrificial blood once a year on the Day of Atonement, and he would pray for God to forgive the people of their sins. Hebrews 9, verse 1 through 9 tells us about this, and he says it was the earthly dwelling place of God's presence from the rest of the temple where the men dwelt. Amid this, that man was cut off from God. We were cut off. We couldn't go into the holy place, and much less we could never go into the Holy of Holies. And so it says in Exodus, this was the rule. And every year they would go through the veil, the high priest, to enter God's presence. This veil that we're talking about this morning, 60 foot high, 4 inches deep, it also had some colors. Guess what the colors were? If you're a color kind of person, the veil was colored blue at one end. And on the other end, it was red, blue as for the heavens, red as for mankind, and the middle became this purple color, which stands for royalty. And the veil was so thick, and they had cherubims ingrained into it, and the colors represented Christ, the God-man, who was the only door to God. The temple veil, the thickness of a man's hand, embroidered with figures of cherubim, like angels, like Ezekiel saw on God's throne. The veil was where it was torn. Can you go back to Matthew 27 and verse 50? This morning, the veil is torn. He wants your heart. I want you to look at it again with that kind of mindset, thinking about the veil. And it says this, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was what? Torn in two from top to bottom. Now, there was going to be an earthquake, but whenever an earthquake, if you've ever been, I've been in one earthquake in my life in Nicaragua. I remember it was a rumbling that happened, and a lot of people were sleeping. But y'all go crazy if y'all sleeping through an earthquake. And I remember sitting there in that earthquake, and it rumbled again, and my husband's like snoring in a hammock outside. I was like, dude, like the third time, I'm leaving. I'm going out in the middle. But do you know what happens with an earthquake? You start hearing a rumbling before it even hits your place. And so there's a rumbling that comes underneath the ground. But an earthquake doesn't tear from top to bottom. An earthquake tears from what? From bottom unto the top. And so you would have heard the earthquake, but you could not have possibly in any kind of human strength. In fact, they said they would have trains of horses that could have torn the veil, but that could not have happened because it was torn from top until bottom. The hand of God, as Jesus gives up his last breath, it is finished. We don't talk about this. And immediately the veil is torn from top, that 60-foot bottom, to the bottom, 4 inches deep. It's torn. Why? So that I can enter not just into the holy place this morning. I get to go into the holy of holies. Why? Because the high priest named Jesus, royalty, red and blue, intertwined into purple, sat on the mercy seat of the temple and said this. He says, I'm going to pay the packed sacrifice so that you can be close to me, so that I can have your heart. See, remember Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, and what is God do? He kicks them out of the garden. Why? Because they have sin in their life, but he wants to be close. It's like me. I want to be close to my daughter. I love when she comes close to me. God wanted his people to come close to him. He wants you this morning not to just come to church on an Easter Sunday. He wants you to be close. He wants your heart, and he pays the price. He looks at the sacrifice and he tears the veil from top to bottom. If the earthquake had just happened, then they said it could have been man, but the invisible hand of God reached down and removed the barrier. See, he tore what is duct tape in our culture. I guess that's a little bit of a barrier. But here's what he did when he tore the veil. He said, now there's no barrier. There's no way that you can't enter into the throne room of God, because my son Jesus has paid the price. You don't have to worry about the Holy of Holies. You don't have to worry about coming in. He says, I have paid the price this morning. This Easter Sunday, the reason why we say before you this morning, it's a fabulous and amazing day, is because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has stamped it and said, I tore the veil so you can be close. Would you go back to the Bible? Go back to the Bible. And it says this. We're going to read through Matthew 27 and verse 50. Let's read it again. And it says, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. And behold, As you make your way right back to your seats, we're going to go into the song. Guys, we have baptism right after service, so Pastor is going to be baptizing people. We encourage you to stay. We know some of you have family commitments, but would you make some noise this morning as the kids come and share the good news of Jesus? We're going to get all these kiddos on stage, and we're getting ready to dance. Easter. We're going to do baptisms right here. So if you signed up for baptism and want to get baptized, we're going to start that in about 5 minutes. Have a fabulous Easter. See you Wednesday, 6:30. And next Sunday, we start our new series on the book of Jude. It's going to be awesome.